Amen. Amen. John, the 11th chapter. Let me get it to you and get out of your way. Amen. God has a word for us today. We're still on the glory of God. Amen. That is rising among us. John, the 11th chapter. If you would like to rise in honor of the book, of the author of the book, you may do so. If you'd like to remain seated in his presence, that is okay too. Amen. Amen. Year of purpose. Somebody say, this is my year of purpose. I am significant, and I am important to the purposes of God. Yes, you are. Amen. John 11 chapter. Let's look at the 39th verse. Hallelujah. John 11, 39. Just a few verses there through verse 44. John 11, 39. Amen. You got it? Say, I got it. We're looking at the glory of God here, a revelation of God's glory this morning. I believe it's an uplifting message that will help sustain you in the days ahead. How many know God wants to sustain you in the days ahead? No matter what comes, what goes, who does, who doesn't, God is a sustaining God. And his revelation of his glory will sustain you. The glory of God will sustain your life. Verse 39, following with me, please. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. I mean, now there's some things that are dead and stinking. Yes. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God? If you would believe. And when they took away the stone, when they took it away, from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin, and Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Hallelujah. Let her go. Let him go. Praise God. Hallelujah. Look at somebody next to you and just say, let him go. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go. Let him go from everything dead and stinking. Amen. Let him go from everything that's dead and everything that, oh, praise God. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the revelation of your glory this morning. Only you could give that. I do not pretend in any way, shape, or form that I can really speak anything into any heart. You are the one that speaks to the heart and to the spirit of man, men and women. I want to thank you that you are here today. And Father, you're the one that's ministering now. Come and break bread with this, your body. Come and feed them bread of heaven. Feed them till they overflow. Speak something to them. Let them hear a rhema word from God, a personal word from you to them. It doesn't even have to include me in it. God, you can speak around me, in spite of me, through me. It doesn't matter. But don't let them leave here without hearing what the Spirit would have to say to the church, to them, about their purpose, about their significance, about the importance of them to your purpose. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you now. I feel the glory of God rising right now. The anointing is in this house, and I thank you for these that have come to sit at your feet. Thank you for their honor of you, Lord. Thank you for their coming and seeking you diligently, Lord. Hallelujah. Not casually, but diligent seekers. You will reward them, Lord. And I thank you for you are a rewarder of them that diligently seek you. I bless now you, Lord God, rewarder, and these that are the rewardees. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Hallelujah. You may be seated in his presence. If you believe, Jesus said, you will see. Look at somebody one more time and say, you will see. You will see. It's not enough that I will see it. It's not enough that they will see it. God wants you to see the glory of God. He wants you to see the goodness of God. He wants you to experience the splendor and the majesty. Amen. It's a sad thing when everybody is looking at others that are being blessed and they're sitting there wondering, what about me? What about me, Lord? Amen. Amen. Well, God is concerned about what about me? Amen. Mr. What about me? Miss What about me? Amen. God is concerned about you. And we want to talk about that this morning. Our theme verse for this year, for this series, on the glory of God is John 17:22. You don't need to turn there. We've been there for several weeks in this series on the glory of God. But Jesus says, Father, the glory you gave me, I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. God wants a oneness with you. Amen. He wants a closeness with you that will supersede anything you can get in this world. Are you with me? Are you hearing me? Amen. When you have that, everything else pales in comparison. Amen. You can go with it, you don't go with it. You can have it, you don't have it. As long as you have the oneness with him, man, you can handle anything and anybody. Amen. And so we see that Jesus is saying here, didn't I tell you, Living Bible says, King James says, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Living Bible says, didn't I tell you, you will see a wonderful miracle from God if you believe. Hallelujah. A wonderful miracle. So the Bible says it is possible, and I saw an uplifting message, it was last year, from David Wilkerson, was talking about the revelation of glory, and God brought it back to me, and I want to share portions with you this morning. The Bible says it's impossible, it is possible, for every believer, do I have any believers in the house, to see the glory, the Lord's glory. Amen. God doesn't want you to hear about it, he wants you to see it. In fact, God says he will reveal his glory to all who seek him for it. Why is it important for us to see and understand God's glory? It is because the revelation of his glory is meant to equip his people for the storms of life. Why does he want us to see the glory? Because we need an equipping. I may know there are some storms, obviously. Some are in storms right now. Some have been in storms. Maybe a storm tomorrow. They say thunderstorms are on the way. Well, hallelujah. Thank God for the glory of God that equips us. God is equipping us from whatever storm comes. God wants us protected. He wants us to know his glory, his goodness in the midst of things that are not so good. Are you with me? Yes. And we all face things at times that are not very good. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Yeah, but God is good all the time. Amen. And so it's important for us to see and understand God's glory. It is important. Not just another message, but important for you to see it and to understand it. Amen. Because you will go through some storms. You've been through some storms. And we will be going through some more storms. But praise God, between every storm, there is a mountain. Amen. Top. Praise God. And I thank God for it. So it is able, the Apostle Paul said, this revelation is able to build you up. Boy, we need building up, do we not? How many know every day the devil's trying to tear us down? Huh? We need building up. That's why your prayer language is so important. Builds you up. And the word build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Acts 20:32 says, God says that is able to give you that inheritance, this glory. What exactly is the glory of God? We've been talking about it. We have given some definitions of it. Let me give you one that I pray will stay with you. It is also a part of the glory. What exactly is the glory of God? It's not really some physical manifestation, though some Christians believe it is. There is a Shekinah glory, and you can see it. But the glory God's talking about here is not that. Amen. Amen. And it's not an ecstatic feeling that overcomes you or a supernatural bursting forth. In simple terms, stay with me, God's glory is a revelation of his nature and attributes. When the Lord chooses to show us his glory, it is a revelation of how he wants to be known by us. How many know people have a lot of ideas about God? Some are right, some are wrong. A lot of people don't even believe God loves them. Amen. You'd be surprised how many people are not sure God really, really does love them. And when the Lord sent Moses to deliver Israel, he told him, he said, go and say that I am sent you. But he gave no explanation of who I am was. Yeah, I am sent me, but I don't know who he is. And so Moses cried. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Woo! He wanted to know, what is this I am? Exodus 33:18. Moses had a gnawing hunger to know who the great I am was and the essence of his nature and his character. By God. God answered Moses' prayer, and he instructed Moses to hide himself in the cleft of the rock. You know the story. And wait for the Lord to pass by. And as Moses waited, how many are waiting for the Lord to pass by? Yeah, he's coming your way. I said he's coming your way. Yeah. And as Moses waited, he saw no thunder. He didn't see any lightning, no shaking of the earth. Instead, God's glory came to him in a simple revelation. The Lord passed by before him. Chapter 34, 6 and 7, Exodus says, the Lord passed by before him, get this now, and proclaimed the Lord God, merciful, somebody shout merciful, and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy to thousands, and forgiving iniquity and transgression. There was the revelation of God's glory, who he is, what his heart is. You see, when God reveals his glory to his people, it is with a purpose in it, a purpose in mind. And he allowed Moses to see his glory so he might be changed. Somebody shout, changed. We need to be changed by the understanding of it. The same is true for us today. God reveals his glory to us so that we may be able to reassure us in our daily walk. Amen. We need reassuring. Jesus Christ is the express image of who God is. The Father wrapped up all his character in the Son. And when our Lord became flesh, it was a full revelation of God's nature, his mercy, his grace, his goodness, and readiness to forgive. I'm so glad he is God Almighty. In him, the Bible says, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, Colossians 2:9, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, his personality and his nature, Hebrews 1:3. Do we really know who he is? The same holds true today for anyone who receives the revelation of God's glory. I may know a lot of people have an image of God that he's a tyrant. He's got a big stick and he's ready to whack you as soon as you do something wrong. Come on. Just because we grew up like that doesn't mean God's like that. We won't get into that. That's another story. Amen. That's his story. Hallelujah. So it holds true for us. Amen. For anyone who receives the revelation of God's glory, we who are in Christ are meant to be changed. I said we're meant to be changed into the expression of God's loving, forgiving, merciful nature. Paul said that. How many have met a lot of Christians that is not true of them? Come on. They're not merciful. They're not forgiving. To be honest with you, they're meaner than snakes. Well, I guess, hallelujah. Aren't you glad that's not you? I said, that's not you, is it? No. Paul said that beholding God's glory had power to transform the beholder. We all with an open face, beholding as in a glass, a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed. We are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. We are changed. Man, if there's no change, there's no glory. I said, if there's no change, there's no glory. And we need the glory for the change. And that's why there is no change in many areas of life and our living, because we have no glory in that area or that person or whatever it is. 2 Corinthians speaks of that glory, that changing, 3:18. Paul adds, we are to keep seeking this revelation of God's glory until we become rooted in it, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled, somebody shout, filled with all the fullness of God. Well, my God. God wants us filled to overflowing with all of the goodness of God, the fullness. Ephesians 3:17-19. He's saying, in effect, keep seeking God's glory until the revelation bursts forth in you. And now there's three effects of his glory, and I'll get them to you quickly. The first effect of God's glory is a change in our relationship with him. When Moses saw the revelation of God's glory, his wonderful nature and character, I mean, you know, he is wonderful. This is one of his names. Do you know him as wonderful? God wants you to know him as wonderful. He fell to his knees and he worshiped. Moses, the Bible says, made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. Exodus 34:8. Moses was so stirred by what he saw, how merciful and patient and loving God is with his children, even those who grieve him. He worshiped in awe. Isn't it amazing how God's even merciful like that with those that grieve him? Moses worshiped here even though he wasn't full of hope for Israel. How many have something you're not full of hope for? Let me rephrase that. How many have something that you don't have any hope for? Okay. He knew the people were bent on backsliding. At that very moment, back in their tents, they were hiding little golden idols that they brought from Egypt, from the land of bondage. Moses must have thought, how will I ever be able to hold this people together? When will God's patience run out with their idolatry? Yet the Lord had no intention of destroying his people. This was all a mercy test for Moses. The Lord was asking him, how will you represent me to the people? Then we ask the question sometime, got a couple messages. Can they see Christ in you? What do they see when they see you? Do they see an angel or a devil? Sometimes they see both. Oh, we went there already, so I'm not going back there. Amen. Somebody said, don't go back there, Pastor. Don't go back there. Amen. How will you represent me? The Lord was asking, how will you represent me to the people? As a vengeful God who is full of judgment only, or as a merciful and long-suffering, always ready to forgive God? Man. Whew. Yeah, this was the revelation of God's glory, and it set Moses' heart at ease. How many know there's a lot of hearts that God wants to set at ease? Yeah. He immediately prayed, Lord, you said you would forgive the iniquity and transgression of thousands. Well, here are those thousands before you. We're all stiff-necked and in need of mercy. I'll make you say amen. Grant us your mercy. Pardon our many sins. Here we see the revelation of God's glory should be a wellspring in all of our worship. We ought to regularly lay claim to his glory, testifying, Lord, I know you're holy and just, that you don't wink at sin, but I've also seen your glory, and it makes me know you're not out to destroy me. Amen. When you see his glory, you know he's not out to destroy you. Glory to God. You don't condemn me in my struggles. Others do. I failed so often. We all have. I should have been cast aside by now. But you continue to show me how loving and long-suffering you are toward me. You continue to show me. You continue with me. Sometimes I don't even want to continue with myself, but you want to continue with me. We see the prophet Jeremiah. He went through some severe trials and struggles. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you're alive and you've been living very long, you've been through some pretty intense trials and struggles too. Some of us are going through struggles right now, intense. That's an understatement, Pastor. You have no idea what I'm going through. No, I don't, but God does. And I saw Jeremiah's prayer in Jeremiah 10:24 said, O Lord, he says, correct me, but with judgment, but not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Isn't that a good prayer? Correct me, but don't wipe me out. Amen. And whenever you may voice this prayer, you'll hear the Lord's voice whispering to you, son or daughter, if I choose to correct you, it is because I love you. This test isn't about my judgment at all. Amen. I am merciful, gracious, loving, and long-suffering towards you. Now stand still and see the glory of God. Hallelujah. Get your mind off of God wanting to wipe you out because you ain't all you want to be and all you believe he wants you to be and know he wants to be. God is saying, you just stand still and you watch. I'm not here. I didn't come to judge you. I come to save you. Amen. Now, God, the knowledge of his glory, his nature, and his character, it carries us to a place of total rest. This knowledge of glory will bring you to a place of total rest. Are you in a place of total rest today? My God. Indeed, once we have this revelation of God's glory, we need never fear he will correct us in anger. Many of our parents corrected us in anger. And so we think God is like that because we associate God with our fathers and our mothers. But God is saying, I don't correct you in anger. I mean, no, it's never good to correct your child in anger. Amen. I'm going to kill you, but I'm not angry. I'm calm as I can be. No, I'm not going to do that. Yeah. The Lord carries his rod in a loving hand. And if he disciplines us, it is only in deep compassion. Amen. The psalmist said in Psalms 23, he said, thy rod and thy staff, they what? They hurt me. They bruise me. They comfort me. Hey, I want to tell you right now, there was no rod in the hand of any mother or father I had that ever comforted me. It might have brought comfort later. Amen. Hallelujah. God corrects us with his word, and he works through his word. He works through situations. But God's not putting cancer on anybody. He won't correct you with that. I don't believe it. He may use it if the devil attacks you with it, and you may have opened a door for it. But I want to tell you, God will take it with his glory and turn it for the glory of God. Woo! Yeah, God will use you in the hospital. He'll save people. But he didn't put this on me so I could save somebody. He's just using it. Amen. See, it's how we see God. Yeah. And so we see all who truly worship God claim the blessing of his promises. They see his glory and his love toward them. And they lay hold of that glory to settle their troubled souls. The second effect of seeing God's glory is a change in our countenance. The children of Israel saw the face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face shone, Exodus 34, 35. A person's countenance is the outward expression of their heart. In this verse, Moses' face simply reflected the glory of God in his soul. You can bask in God's presence all you want. Hear me now. But it is a wholly different matter for his glory to be revealed in you. You can bask in it and not have it revealed in you. And a lot says about our countenance. Amen. Paul testified, it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him, Galatians 1, 15 and 16. And so we see the revelation of Moses received was glorious, but it was only a fading thing. The radiance on his face and heart was the result of getting a glimpse of God's nature. When I came out of my office last night, I asked Mama, I said, is my face glowing? She said, well, I hate to tell you, but it's not. Amen. But she was half asleep, so I didn't believe what she said anyway. Amen. Well, I have to, I'll shine a flashlight in the mirror and turn the lights off. I don't care. It's all right. If I messed up, just leave me alone. I'm having a good time. Radiance was a result of getting a glimpse of God's nature, how God really is. And even so, when the Israelites saw him, they knew he had a supernatural experience. And today we have something, how many know, far more glorious than what Moses had. We actually touch and handle God's glory. The Bible says that which from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, 1 John 1:1. John is saying in effect here, he says, God revealed the fullness of his glory to us in Christ. We saw his glory embodied in a person, and we talked with him and touched him, and he talks with me and walks with me and tells me, I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. God wants what you have with him to be better than anything you've had with anybody you've known. And we've known some pretty good things. I have pretty good knowing with my beautiful wife and first lady. But the joy we share is something that helps me with the joy we also share here. Amen. Hallelujah. We got something far better. Today we not only see the fullness of the glory of God in Christ, it also abides in us. I said it abides in us and shines forth in our hearts. How many know if it shines forth in your heart, it's going to come out of your face? How many know smiling helps you a lot? Looking down and down, they say you get a lot more wrinkles that way. That's why I go around just, people think I need to be put away, but I'm really okay. Matter of fact, some may want to know, what is he so happy about? Yeah. Well, here, let me tell you. Amen. I got someone who abides in me, and I abide in him. And it shines forth in our hearts. It can't help but come out in your face. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, face to face. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, Titus 2:11. Who is this grace? It is Jesus Christ, full of mercy, full of kindness and love, teaching us that denying ungodliness, deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. We have such a mixture in the body of Christ. Can you call that godly? Whatever that is? Can you call that righteously? Are people living soberly in that? Titus 2:12, Paul is saying, in essence, this grace that abides in us is the revelation of Christ's goodness. If you will abide in him, his revelation will instruct you in holy living. If you will abide in him, not just visit him, not just date him, it will instruct you in holy living. It will teach you mercy and grace and tenderness and forgiveness. Number three, we see the effect changed his countenance. Amen. And we see it also that it changed our relationship with him. And the third and last, the third effect of seeing God's glory is a change in our relationship with others. I may want to say, Pastor, the first two are all right. I really don't want to hear about the third one. You were doing good till you got there. Amen. I was even might have even been enjoying a little bit. Now you're meddling. Well, endure me just for a moment. You can't have the other two and not have the third one. Once we receive this revelation of God's glory, we can't continue in our old ways of treating others. Huh? It all must change. Paul warns, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Ephesians 4:31. How many know there is something also called tough love? I may know you can have a love that's not be all what I just read, but it can be tough. Sometimes we have to use tough love. It's the only chance they have. I said it's the only chance they have of getting it right and stopping their destructive ways. It's the only opportunity for you to be strong and to put it down and to follow God and do what God is telling you to do. Tell them, I will not put up with that anymore. You will not treat me like that anymore. I will not suffer that. I've done everything I can, and you still have not done. Now it's got to be tough love. I may still love you, and I may not, but I can't be around you. Oh, you don't want me to be honest. Okay, that's okay. I'm not perfect yet. I'm still working on it. Amen. Hallelujah. That third effect. God is saying through Paul, you've seen my glory and you know my nature, that I'm gracious, long-suffering, ready to forgive. I want you to express to others who I am. When Jesus says, be merciful to others, even as God has been merciful to you, the word mercy is from the Greek word misery. That was interesting to me. Misericordia. The full meaning is to take to heart the misery of another with the intention of giving him or her comfort and relief. Being merciful means taking on another person's hurt. That includes those who have hurt us. That is just what our Lord does for us. Let me ask you, how many times has Jesus taken on your misery caused by sin, giving you and me comfort and forgiveness in return? How often has he wiped away your tears and spoken kindly to you through his word? He does this for us time after time. I ask you, how can we not find it in our hearts to take on the misery and the pain of someone we know is hurting? The word compassion means being affected, touched by the misery of others, and determining to do something about it. Whoo! How many can say right where you're sitting, I've determined to do something about it. It has been miserable. And what I've done may not look in their eyes as compassion, but it is the most compassionate thing you can do. Because misery loves company. And I will not be company to misery. You made me miserable enough. Now God's going to have to handle this. I've taken all I'm going to take. I put up with all. God's saying, now let him handle it. Turn it over to him. Paul did that. He said, hey, I done it. I just turn it over to God. Hallelujah. It's not a matter that you washed your hands from it, but it's a matter that you're not trying to do anything more because you've done everything you can, and God will have to do the rest. If it's to be done, God will do it. It may be done and it may not be done. People have wills. We follow the glory of God, how God's leading us. I remember God speaking to me in one of the most miserable times of my life, a broken relationship. Waited for 2 years, God had, that's just the time frame he had for me. Believing God, trusting God, but it was at the end of that time. Papers were served, not because of my, I was ready to go single the rest of my life, if that's what God wanted. But when that came into my office there as purchasing sales and purchasing manager there at the Bear Valley Steel, when that girlfriend of hers walked in, handed me those papers, I was down just for a second. And then God spoke to me. I heard the voice of God say, "You're free." When God says you're free, baby. He may not say it just like that to you, like he said it to me, but God's got a lot of ways of talking to us. But I didn't take it into my own hands. I said, "God, it's in your hands." And when he said, "You're free," I said, "I am." Woohoo! I said, "Yoo-hoo!" I didn't have no crying thing. No, man, I'm free. Hallelujah. Now, I don't want you thinking you're here and I'm free if you got some issues going on here in your marriage or somewhere. You know what I mean? You got to be careful when you tell people things, you know. Come back and say, "Pastor, I heard God. He told me the same thing. He said, I'm free and I'm sick and tired of this and I'm getting out of here." It's not good if you have more divorces than you have marriages. You know what I mean? Especially if it's due to the preaching. Yeah, you probably have to get a new preacher at that point. Amen. Yeah. All right. I'm closing. Misery. Compassion. Just what God does for us. Time and again, I ask you, how can we not have compassion, be affected, determined to do something about it? Amen. However God leads us to do something about it. But how many know mercy and compassion is at the heart of that? How many know that it's wrong to let somebody continue to keep on going to their destruction without somebody saying, "Stop"? You may be the last possible chance for that person before they go and destroy themselves, possibly even for eternity. And boy, does the devil fight that. He'll put every guilt trip on you he can. He'll get you, try to get you, but you got to stay strong. God will help you stay strong. Because we're not thinking about us in this. Yes, we're important. God's important. But we're thinking about that person. It's not an issue of where you and I are at right now. It's an issue of where you and God are at. And I tell you, the vertical is always more important than the horizontal. And I'll tell you this, in a marriage, in a relationship, when the horizontal's right, when the vertical's right, you can get the horizontal right. When you're right with God, God will work in the relationship. But you're trying to get this right, and that's wrong with him. And you beat your brains out trying to get it right. You are fighting a losing battle. You want God to do something with him or her? God wants to do something with you. Everybody wants to, judge everybody. What, judge it? You're not doing this. You're not doing that. If you just do this, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. You'd still be the same miserable person you've always been. Uh-oh. I see some smiles on faces. I better leave that alone. And how many know God can reach anybody, anywhere? And the sad fact is that many times, because of our rebellion and because of our stubbornness, we lose it all. And at times there's no coming back. There's no going back. You crossed a line. You can cross a line, you know. You can cross a line. You can cross a line with God. It'll take something to do it. But you can cross a line with God. And then you just have to go on. If you want your eternal soul saved, you got to go on and trust God to make the best of it. Move on. You and Jesus anyway. Yeah, you messed that up. I was going to use the S word, but I won't use that word. But you blanked that royally. When you could have, should have, you didn't. So it's always good to get it right while you can. Because there's going to come a time when it's past the point of no return. But how many know there's still hope? God still has a future. Yeah, I messed that up, but I'm not going to mess the next one up. Glory to God. I was an idiot with that. I mean, when you come to the point and you realize I'm not worthy of anything or anybody, God, this is me. But thank you for your mercy and your grace. Hallelujah. And God will give you a new life. I said, God will give you a new life. If you've had a revelation of the Lord's glory, you know what it means to taste of his love and mercy and forgiveness. And you are being changed by that glory. Jesus says, now take that glory and shine it on the world around you. It's time to act in love as your Lord has continually done for you. Amen. Amen. I saw God confirm this morning. It was so beautiful. He says, if you believe, you'll see. And I looked at the John Eckhart's spiritual prayers for spiritual warfare. Is that it? And guess what I turned to this morning? I didn't see this till this morning. I love it when God confirms things. Amen. It's nice when God lets you know you're on the right track. That's good. And I pray God will confirm to someone's heart today in whatever decisions and whatever path of life that God has you on. If you need a confirmation, God will confirm his word with signs. Oh, praise God. Here's a sign. I share it with you in closing. September 7th. How many know it's September 7th? How many are not sure we even changed the calendar? It could still be August. It says, I will show you my glory. This is God talking, not me. I said, oh, God, that's good. He says, Moses longed to see my glory and to dwell in my shadow. He sought hard after me, and I knew him intimately. He found grace in my sight, and I knew him by name. My child, seek after me intimately, so that I will know you by name. Ask to see my glory, just as Moses asked. I will cause my goodness to pass before you. My goodness includes the blessings of goods. I like God. It includes the blessing of good things, of goodness, property, fairness, beauty, joy, and prosperity. Woo, God's a good God. Yeah, yes. Give him glory. He's the one. It's his glory. He says, I have an abundant store of goodness, and I am anxious to give good gifts to my children. My blessings are stored up for those who know me and those whom I know. All you have to do is to ask me to bless you. Jabez found that out. Lord, bless me a lot. He was the lowest in the family. I think it was illegitimate. He said, God, bless me a lot. Bless me indeed. Enlarge my borders. Keep me from evil, that I may not harm me or I harm anybody. And the Bible says, and God blessed him. Whew. God blessed Isaac in a time of famine. Blessed him 100-fold in the time of famine. I'll tell you, don't be afraid to ask God to bless you. Don't be afraid to ask God to show you his glory. God, bless me. I don't want to just consume it on me. You know my heart. I want to be a blessing. So much I want to do if I had so much more to do it with. Amen. Here's the prayer. Can you pray this with me? Come on, stand with me. And at least you'll be encouraged that I'm almost done. Amen. Isn't it good? Anybody encouraged? The glory of God is rising in the house. Isn't he a good God? Not mad at you? Amen. You're not bringing the rod down on your back. You may go through some things, but it will bring comfort. Here's the prayer declaration. Would you pray it with me? Lord, you are the source of my blessing. I choose your blessings by walking in your covenant. I will knock on the door of blessing, and you will open it for me. You are a God who blesses and rewards those who diligently seek after you. Rain upon my life and pour out your blessing over me. Pour out your blessing over me. Yes, over you, but what about me? Pour out your blessing on me. God is concerned about you. He doesn't want just everybody else blessed. He wants you blessed. He wants you blessed in every way you can be blessed. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. Somebody said, courage is fear that has said its prayers. We've got to confront our fear. One of the greatest breakthroughs in modern psychology is the law of reversibility. And I share this just a couple things with you. It works like this. When you feel a certain way, you act accordingly. And when you don't feel like doing something, but you do it anyway, the same dynamic creates the feeling consistent with your actions. Did you get that? Dallas Willard put it like this. You can live the opposite of what you profess, but you can't live opposite of what you believe. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. You'll see the miracle, great miracle that I have for you. Invariably, what you believe, hear me now, is revealed by what you do. You can't say, I believe, and not back it up with what you do, because what you do will reveal what you believe. Give him glory. Woo! Many people say, I believe. America believes. The Bible says, so do the demons. And they go a step further. The Bible says they tremble at his word. Wow. Because fear is a learned response. It can be learned. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, take fresh courage today. God's clouds over you are big with mercy. And I heard God say, they shall break in blessings upon your head. His clouds are full of blessing. Ah, man, I'm not hyping you. I'm telling you what I heard God tell me. And so don't be afraid. Somebody said the difference between a hero and a coward is the hero hangs in there 5 minutes longer. Yeah! Glory to God! Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for a lot of heroes in here today. Oh, Lord, I thank you that the cloud is full over their head. You said, ask of the Lord rain in the day of the latter rain, and the Lord would make bright clouds. He'll make them for you, and there shall be showers of blessing. It's over your head right now, and that shall break in blessing upon you. I declare it. I decree it. I know God said it to me. I came to tell you. I believe you're on the right path. I believe God is leading you and guiding you, speaking to you, confirming his word with signs and wonders and miracles. I thank God. And if you go to the right or to the left and you happen to get off a bit, the Bible says, Isaiah said through Isaiah, you'll hear a voice behind you, a word behind you saying, no, 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 no son, no daughter. No, this is the way. Walk ye in it. So don't be afraid to go to the left or right. Don't be afraid. If it's not quite right, you'll hear his voice. You'll feel his hand on your back. Say, this is the way, daughter. This is the way, son. Walk ye in it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the blessing of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. I thank you for a blessing on this congregation. I thank you for these that sit under the words that I know you have given, as much as I know how to share it. Now take it and confirm it. Whatever was of you, Lord, confirm it. Whatever was not of you was only of me. It will fall to the ground. But your word will never fall to the ground. It will accomplish that whereunto you have sent it. Blessing and honor and glory to God and blessing upon your people now. I thank you for the blessing of the Lord that makes us rich. The Bible says it adds no sorrow to it. Devil, don't even think about it. I bind every demon, every devil that would try to counterfeit, try to act like he's blessing and bring sorrow with it. No, we don't receive that. We receive the true blessing of the Lord that has no sorrow with it. I thank you, Father, for making your people happy. And you said it shall be well with them. I leave that with them. I speak it over them. Bless them this week, Father, I pray. May your face shine upon them. May the glory of the Lord shine round about them. And may every one of their enemies be sore afraid as you lead them and guide them into the paths of righteousness for your namesake. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, praise the Lord. God bless you. Give God a praise. I love you. Have a great week. Amen.